Welcome back to Eye on Digital Marketing. This is episode 43. I am your host, Chuck Forbes, and today I am joined by my guest, Danielle Leach, Chief Operating Officer here at More Visibility. Danielle, how are you?
Hi, Chuck. Wow, 43 podcasts.
I know, and we have 44 scheduled as well, so...
Awesome.
We're moving along
pretty
quickly.
That's awesome.
Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at More Visibility, one word, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and visit our website, morevisibility.com, where you can find more podcasts, read through some awesome blog content, and sign up for our newsletter, where you will get some marketing tips from our expert team here. Danielle, thanks for coming on the podcast today. I wanted to switch gears a little bit for the listeners because we have a lot of specialists and managers from our team on, and sometimes we get, you know, really granular in one area. You, in your position, I thought it'd be cool to kind of take a step back and talk about something that we haven't before, but I think is very, very important and something that we experienced recently by being on client calls with other marketing partners that they had, which is if you're in a position on your marketing team where you have multiple partners, multiple vendors or agencies you work with, what are some tips or how is the best way that you can get them to collaborate together and make sure that they're all cohesively working on one goal or your overall strategy moving forward instead of kind of piecemealing that together, which can happen sometimes when you have a lot of partners. You being in your position, I'm sure you've experienced this a lot. So just at a very high level, what are some of maybe the challenges that you've experienced or seen in that type of situation?
Right, absolutely. So I would say it's almost inevitable that our clients are going to have other marketing partners, consultants, or agencies, simply due to the fact that we don't do it all. We are a boutique firm that specializes in digital, and we all know that there's many more components and elements of a marketing department's needs beyond what we do. So most times there are other partners and agencies involved with our clients besides just us. That being said, where we've seen things get muddy or murky is when there's not good collaboration and communication amongst all the partners. And we've seen some clients do an amazing job, and I've seen some organizations do an amazing job of facilitating to their advantage and truthfully to every partner's advantage, excellent cross-collaboration and cross-communication, which turns out to be able to provide excellent insights across the board, which then means better results from each partner and to the organization. So, you know, to give you one example, we have been invited in the past to partner summits. And yes, from an organization's perspective, if you're sitting there as a VP of marketing or director of marketing and marketing manager, I know your plate is super full. You're being pulled in 10,000 different directions. And what I'm about to share probably sounds like a headache and a lot of work.
Right.
But I'm also going to say it could turn out to be the best thing that you invest your time and money in because exponentially the results would pay you back both, you know, financially, but also from the time investment and commitment that you make. So one organization held a partner summit. They literally took a full day. So you can imagine the time commitment as well as the financial commitment. It was a full day off-site summit. Each of the marketing partners slash agencies that they work with, and in some cases, agencies did something very specific and finite or niche for the company. In other cases, it was a little bit more robust in terms of the services that they were providing. But it really didn't matter because each partner was there to learn and share with each other. And ultimately, the client is facilitating this summit and this workshop. And as part of that facilitation, by default, is sharing a lot of information and insights with all partners at the same time. Now, you might say, okay, well, organizations should share whatever they need to with their partners.
Sure.
Of course. But oftentimes it's shared based on a need-to-know basis, mm-hmm. and not, you know, in a cryptic way, but we're all moving so fast. So if I don't really think this involves you or applies to you or the work that you do, then I may not share it with you.
Right.
So that was another valuable element, is we were not only hearing the work and the successes or the learnings that each of these other partners had, but we also were getting much more detailed information and insights and data into the organization itself. There was a ton of collaboration. There was a ton of brainstorming. You had partners giving ideas to other partners. And yes, in many cases, we were all competitors. In certain instances, we might have even been potentially direct competitors.
Right.
In other instances, we may not compete at all. But it was just very cool to watch the dynamic in the room. And as the day went on and everyone's kind of creative juices were flowing, there were some excellent ideas that came out of that day. And I think there was ultimately a lot of value that was brought to each partner, but more so to the organization itself. So I think it does take a lot of work and time and money, but the payoff is exponential.
Yeah, I think two points that are very crucial in what you just said is, one, the competition. I feel like sometimes there's that kind of barrier of, well, I know we're kind of quote unquote on the same team, but that partner does the same thing as us. So in a way, you're kind of limiting yourself. On the same token, like you said, sometimes as the client facilitating this information or communication out, you're moving so fast, like you said, you're just telling MoreViz what they need to hear, not necessarily telling MoreVisibility everything or having that brainstorm session with them. And when you're able to do that, and everybody knows, quote unquote, everything going on, then you get those brainstorming sessions, those really good ideas like, oh, now that I know this partner is doing this for the next 3 months for this reason, now we can maybe tailor our strategy. And again, it's all for the common goal at the end of the day of the client and what we're working towards. Danielle, from your perspective, is there any situation that you've seen or have an opinion on where someone could have too many partners or too many people in the room? Because you mentioned, yes, we could have direct competitors. Sometimes you need different partners because they have a niche and that's just what they're good at. But there is most of the time some overlap there. What's your thoughts on that?
So personally, I've never really looked at the scenario as adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confident in our agency, our ability to deliver, our services, the results we achieve, and most importantly, our team. So I've never really, in these situations, I've never gotten on the defense.
Yeah.
When we've been introduced to another partner, I've more so tried to understand what value does that partner bring for you, and how might I be able to help that partnership, or how might they be able to help our partnership. So that's how I approach it. But that being said, to more specifically to your question, can there be too many partners? I think there can be. And especially if there is a lot of overlap, not just in terms of the services that that partner might provide, but more so what you are contracting with each of these partners to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's overlap amongst that. And that's where it gets a little bit challenging, because different agencies and different consultants obviously do have different strategies and philosophies on things. And I think it's very challenging for the client if you're being told two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the frustration can occur. And frustration all around by both partners and, you know, by the marketing department who's managing the relationships.
Yeah.
So I think be mindful in terms of the partners that you have and the work that they're doing for you, mm-hmm. and then be considerate of the cross-collaboration opportunities and the explicit communication that you want to be providing.
Yeah.
You know, just a further thought on that is we have been in situations before with organizations where there are two partners for pretty much the exact same service. Mm-hmm. And
that was one of my upcoming questions. Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes.
Please tell me your thoughts on that.
So I can imagine from the client's perspective and that it wasn't done intentionally.
Right.
I can assure you that nobody wants to pay twice for the same thing unless you're looking to audit somebody, you know, another partner or vendor services.
Sure.
And so therefore, you know, going in what you're doing and why you're there. But otherwise, nobody's going to be contracting for the same exact thing twice. So first off, it becomes incredibly frustrating or upsetting to the client. That's the situation. But then a decision has to be made. You're not going to be having two different partners producing your content.
Right.
Because now you're probably your content strategy is off. Your tone and voice is going to be a little bit different if you've got two different partners working on it. Same thing with your paid search campaigns. You're not going to be having two different partners running your paid search campaigns because that really would be a mistake in terms of the strategy and the approach there, because you're losing that holistic insight looking from the top down. But when we have encountered that, really the decision the client has to make at that point is, you know, how to divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And so is there a way to parse the work out so that you don't lose money as a marketer? Is there a way to divide and conquer that work? Does it make sense in any type of capacity? And you have those conversations? Or can you maybe do something different with that partner than what you had contracted for or envisioned for?
Yeah.
And so I think where we see this probably the most is with clients who are going through a web design or redesign project, and they've contracted us or we are their partner for search engine optimization, content strategy, content development and optimization. And they're signing a contract for design and being told all of that is included.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Usually that's not the case.
Right.
And so oftentimes where we can be of service and value to our clients is to really help them to break down a contract to understand it more clearly, mm-hmm. and how somebody else might be throwing around an umbrella term of SEO is included.
Right.
When you peel back the onion into the SOW and what's really included,
yeah.
is very, very different and usually on a minuscule scale of the work in which we would be doing for them.
Right. So obviously we hope that you're never in a situation where you have two partners working on the same line of your business. Taking a step back even further, how would you say is the best way to gauge who you're going to start your work with? Because you mentioned something about strategy. It's very important to understand the strategy of the partners and the agencies you're working with. If you have two or three, you know, agencies that you're looking at or partners on the table, you like all of, you know, the work that they have done, the examples they've given, should you really then step back and say, who has the strategy that fits my goal? Because like you said, I could have two vendors doing SEO, but those strategies can be completely different. I like both of them. I enjoy both of their teams. They both have great client work. How do I make that determination?
I believe you touched on it. The philosophical alignment between what you as a marketer want to achieve and how you want to get there versus what the partner is proposing, mm-hmm. is incredibly important. Because if you're out of alignment, I can't imagine how that partnership is going to be successful. And that's ultimately going to be really frustrating if you selected that partner then from a day-to-day management perspective.
Right.
And probably as a result wouldn't get the success or the outcome that you were envisioning either. So yes, the strategic alignment in terms of just philosophy and approach is certainly important. But I will also say there's an element of chemistry too.
Mm-hmm.
And trust.
Yeah, good point.
Chemistry and trust is really important. You are going to be working with this team and with this partner frequently,
mm-hmm.
hopefully for a long time. And people like doing business with people they like.
Yeah.
We're all, at the end of the day, humans, and it's a natural human instinct to want to spend time with people that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be matched up with an account team that 100% has all the same interests and likes as you or your marketing team. But I think that does come into play. And very often in the RFP process, there are those meet and greets, or, you know, there are those introduction to the potential team. And I think that's valuable.
Yeah.
On both sides, I think that's valuable. And sometimes it's helpful from a leadership perspective when you go through that process to say, okay, I might make some tweaks. Once this client comes on board, I might make mm-hmm. some tweaks because now I really got to know them. And I think I know what team would work best or what style or personality might really gel or mesh most optimally.
Yeah, that's a great point, and something that I've experienced personally, you know, working here at More Visibility, even when you've directly assigned clients to me, and how we describe it is we're trying to get, you know, a good fit. You, like you said, you want that sound strategy, but the more you know about a client, then I think you can properly align based on who's on your team, you know, what makes sense there. So that's a great point. Earlier in the conversation, you mentioned how you were at a partner summit, and that was in person. Since the pandemic in 2020, a lot of people have gone virtual. Some have resumed their in-person, some maybe have not. But I think that in-person summit agency kind of retreat is very helpful. Is there anything else that you may recommend that helps bring all of your teams together? Is truly the best way just to get them all in the same room or on the same call and say, hey, let's take some time and either introduce everybody and walk through it? Or are there other little forms maybe of communication throughout the quarter, throughout the year, that you can keep in mind besides this all-out agency retreat, you know?
Right. So that's the nirvana, right?
Right,
that's the ultimate. And that certainly, just from a realistic standpoint, can't happen very often either. We've also done it, you know, over video conferencing, and truthfully, it works well too that way. So mm-hmm. I want to be honest, it doesn't have to be in person. There's, you know, some fun elements of being in person and what you can do that way, and the ability to more closely connect with everyone in the room physically. But we have successfully seen them happen through video conferencing as well. But something easier, less, certainly less costly, and definitely less from a time investment perspective, could be a partner update email, partner update. You could have a partner portal where you're providing updates, you know, based upon what project management system you use. You know, and if all your partners are on that, there might be ways there. So I think the biggest piece of all of this is communication, right? We keep going back and harping on that. And I just don't know that I can stress that enough. The more that is shared across the board, top to bottom, side to side, partner mm-hmm. to partner, the more that is shared, the better off everyone is, and the more likely the results will be achieved. So I think any type of communication where you're updating all your partners at the same time, and we do have some clients that regularly are sending out informational updates, what's going on in their organization, and they are sending it to all of their partners. And you can certainly, you know, create an email list, and or you can BCC everybody, you know, an email grouping, or even an email list within your email platform, and send that communication out. You know, help your partners to understand what's hot in your organization right now, for good or for bad,
yeah.
so that they have visibility into that. And, you know, Where are their pain points? And maybe it doesn't have direct relationship to every single partner, but I think it's still of value.
Mm-hmm.
If your partners are invested in your business and they are there for the long haul, which I certainly can say this is true for More Visibility, we want to know.
Yeah.
And maybe we can offer suggestions, advice, insights, support that goes outside of our scope mm-hmm. when we learn of these things. And that's what a good partner does.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest point that I wanted to end on based on everything that you said and the perspective you shared today was, if you don't do these things, if you don't communicate, if you don't bring all your partners together, if you're not, you know, looking at the areas of business they're working on and why, then really you're limiting yourself and you're limiting the ability that you're giving that partner. You know, here at More Visibility, we get tons of updates from our clients, whether it be a Google alert or something they're sending us outside of the work we're doing for them. And that allows us the more information to then, like you said, have a wider range of scope for ideas that we can help with. So don't restrict or limit, you know, your business or how your partners can help you by not doing these things. So Danielle, I think this is great information. Certainly think it's helpful for those out there listening who are managing a lot of partners on a daily basis. Before we wrap up today, was there any other final tips or anything you'd like to say about this topic?
Just that I think there's enough business out there for everyone. Don't feel like your back's against the wall when a client introduces the concept of working with another partner. Look at it as an opportunity to learn. Look at it as an opportunity to leverage their information and their work to better yours. We can all play nice in the sandbox for sure.
If you would like more information on how we can help, you can reach out to us, info@morevisibility.com, and we'd be happy to chat further. Danielle, thanks so much for stopping by the podcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chuck.